This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. This week on the Compass, we reveal why Anna and Peter Quinn sold the Writer's Workshop and Imprint Bookstore. We get some very personal insights about the successful novel that Anna wrote. And we find out what lies ahead for the Quinns. And now, we go inside the Compass. Anna Quinn has revealed that her best-selling novel, The Night Child, was informed by her own experience as a victim of sexual abuse as a child. Her real-life story moves toward the proverbial happy ending today as she and husband Peter Quinn step into semi-retirement. We got the inside story about the book and what their future holds from Anna Quinn herself. So, Anna, let's begin with the most recent news. As we sit here today, you're about 1 week away from turning over your business, the Writer's Workshop and Imprint Books, to new owners. Why? Is it because your first novel was so financially successful that you never have to work again?
Oh, there are quite a few reasons. A lot of it did have to do with the novel. Not that it was a success necessarily, as much as it really let me know how much I want to be spending some more time writing. And running two businesses, the Writer's Workshop and the bookstore, was just, it really took almost all our time. Mm-hmm. And as you know, Peter's a poet, and he too would like to spend some time, much more time writing. So,
but you've been doing this for a long, long time, both of you have.
Right.
So what changed?
Well, I think we've been talking about maybe in 5 years passing the torch. And when one of our booksellers expressed interest in possibly owning it, and we love her so much that we thought this is a really good time to go. It's Samantha Ladwig, and she'll be with her partner Tom Nienau, and they're just perfect. So everything felt right about it.
Okay, and yeah. You anticipated my next question, which is tell us about the new owners. My question was, are they going to keep things pretty much the same as you did, including those wonderful workshops?
It sounds like it. Yeah, we really wanting to the next whoever took over this business would continue it on as a writer's resource center and a bookstore. So they both want to do that. And we hope they add their own personality to it. Samantha, who is currently our bookseller, one of our booksellers, is also a book reviewer and a writer. She teaches some of our workshops. And Tom's an avid reader. So I think they will keep it going and even improve on it.
So. Are they local folks? I mean, obviously, but have they been around for a while?
Well, they're both from L.A. I think Tom's family, the Nienau family, has been in Port Townsend for a while, but they lived in L.A., and then they moved back to Port Townsend. Sam was one of the managers at the Rose Theater. She's the person that introduces the films up front.
Ah.
And I think she still may continue to do that, kind of. And Tom builds boats and when he's not reading, and with his brother Matt.
After a dozen years in the business, what are your thoughts about it as you prepare to walk away? You're what, a week away as we sit here right now?
Next Sunday, we give our keys to them.
And this show will air Monday, so
okay.
As you listeners are hearing this now, Anna Quinn is no longer the owner and operator of the Writer's Workshop and Imprint Books. What are your thoughts as this day approaches for you?
Well, it is absolutely a wave of every emotion you could imagine. It's tremendously gut-wrenching to give it up. And if it wasn't going to Tom and Sam, I probably wouldn't be able to do it. But I'm trying to stay focused. Both Peter and I are trying to stay focused on the freedom that we'll have. And just really talking about what we can do instead of answering hundreds of emails and organizing yes. workshops and dealing with all the dynamics that happen in businesses. So, but it'll be tricky. We're trying to plan something really special for Sunday night so that we're going to go camping and symbolic of the freedom that we'll have.
Something special for you and Peter.
Yes.
Not like a special event at the
facility. No, we decided not to do that. because
there's no going away party or anything.
I am not very good with closure. And I'll also still be teaching at the Writer's Workshop, and so will Peter. So, yeah, goodbyes are hard for me.
Oh.
I'm just going to kind of...
Well, it's not actually a goodbye because you're still going to be hanging around.
Right. That's how we're looking at it.
So are there any particular moments that stand out in your mind about your run with the business? Highlights, lowlights?
I think I'll be writing about that for a while.
You'll be writing about that?
I am going to write some things about it.
Is this a blog or what exactly?
I'm working on a couple essays right now, and I'm hoping that they find homes, you know, perhaps with Lit Hub or Book Riot or something like that. I'm going to talk about 13 things we learned running a bookstore. And
only 13. We're as lucky.
That's why it's taking me so long to write it. I have to keep narrowing it down. There are hundreds of things we learned over and over again, but I'm trying to narrow it down. Mm-hmm. And I'm working on an essay on when writing workshops work and when they don't, you know, looking at the good, bad, and the ugly of the whole experience. I have a collection of stories from people that visited the bookstore, especially children, that I'd like to put together in some form. I don't know. And then I want to work on my next novel.
So if I had to put you to the test and say, tell me at least one or two shining moments in your memory of your years with the store, what would you say? Just a couple.
Yeah.
I'll never forget the day that...
Well, I will never forget the day when Dorothy Allison walked in the door.
Yes.
That was probably my highlight. And for
those who don't know, Dorothy Allison is?
Best-selling author. She wrote Bastard Out of Carolina, and she's written many, many brilliant essays. She's a phenomenal writer. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal. One of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
And she came in the door, and it was a really rainy day. We were in our... second little spot across from the Rose Theater. We hadn't yet moved into the bookstore. And she spent at least an hour with me talking about books and writing. And then I invited her to teach a workshop for us. And she did. She came back a couple months later. And she slept in my writing studio.
Oh, really?
And she wears flannel pajamas. And we stayed up all night and talked books. So it was that was definitely a highlight for me.
How wonderful.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
What do you and Peter plan to do with all your spare time now? If you will have spare time now. You should have some
That's
more
gonna
time.
That's going to be very interesting.
Yes.
To see if we will. I know that I will write. I can't wait. And we've already kind of passed the baton a little bit to Sam and Tom. So they've kind of been taking the store now for the last couple of weeks, you know, learning the ins and outs of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. Peter and I get up in the morning and we look at each other and we think, pretty soon we can get up in the morning and do whatever we want. We got a hippie van and we can go take off and never come back, or we can come back, we can go wherever we want. But I believe we'll both write. We're pretty dedicated to the art and craft of writing.
We're talking with Anna Quinn, who is the proprietor of the Writer's Workshop and Imprint Books here in Port Townsend, and her husband is also well-known in town, Peter Quinn. I knew him as chief executive officer of Quimper Mercantile. He's been other things as well. Is he still in that position? Is he going to continue?
He is in that position. Yeah, I think it'll be up to him to see, you know, how long he'll continue there, but he enjoys it a lot. It means a lot to him, the Mercantile. Just as the workshop does, too.
Has he been involved in the business in a significant way, or is that just something that you mostly handle with the book?
At the Writer's Workshop?
Yes.
Oh, no. It would not be here if he weren't part of it.
Okay.
We both put equal energy into the business, and we have very fine, bright lines about who does what, mm-hmm. but he does all the things I don't like to do, anything mm-hmm. that has to do with numbers. Mm-hmm. Peter would do that. So he works with the distributors and the publishers and the taxes and paychecks and all of that. And it allows me to work with the relationships and organize the workshops, find the instructors, curate all the books. And we both put in about 60 or 70 hours a week in that business. Yeah.
And Peter Quinn is not just a numbers guy. He also is a poet.
He's a poet.
Tell
That's
us about
right.
that. Has he been published?
He has a book, Straight Lines on Painted Highways. And he has lots of poems that he's going to be putting together, I think, if he has the time. I'm going to make sure he has the time.
Tomorrow is promised to no one, so there's no time like the present.
I like
Publish
that.
Those books. Get those books out there. Speaking of which, You have written a novel, and it's done very well. It's called The Night Child. It was released in 2018. And for those who haven't read it, tell us what the story is about.
It's about a woman named Nora Brown. She's an English teacher in Seattle. She's also a young mother. She's married. And she teaches high school. And one day, while she's teaching in her classroom, she hallucinates the face of a child, a girl child. And this obviously really disturbs her, and things really begin to unravel quickly in her life because of it. So the book is about her coming to terms with what happened and what the face means.
Now, you're on record as saying that this story contains elements of what was once your memoir, which you said, I think you told me that it was, you wrote it, but it was not published. Is that correct, the memoir?
No, I had no intention of publishing it.
Ah, it was just a therapeutic thing. I shouldn't say use that word, but you tell me. Why did you, weren't going to publish, why would you write it?
So The Night Child was informed by my personal history. Mm-hmm. And the history I'm referring to would be that of childhood sexual abuse and mm-hmm. dissociation. And at least a decade ago, I started writing about my childhood just for myself, just to understand the impact and what it meant for my life and who I was and who I was becoming. And I wrote, I had no intention of publishing it. And mm-hmm. I wrote about it for a long time, and it came to a point where I felt like I was writing the same narrative over and over again. Hmm. And I was missing something significant. And I couldn't get to it. It really felt like my brain had protected me from so well that I couldn't access parts I wanted to access.
Interesting.
Yeah. So one thing we often work with at the workshop with writers is when you're feeling stuck, sometimes it helps to try another form. And so I began exploring those themes through poetry, which was fantastic. I took a couple of Gary Lilly's workshops, and that really helped open me up, and personal essay. And then when I was exploring them through fiction that my whole life opened up. My imagination opened up. The story of The Night Child just came truly in a flood to me, and I couldn't write fast enough. And so while it's informed by my life, The Night Child also has its own intelligence and magic and story, but it helped me get to some emotional truths I hadn't been able to access in my memoir.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was completely fascinating.
Tell me about the process of writing that, because it is a personal story, but mm-hmm. you're fictionalizing it. Just tell me what your thought process, what happened to you emotionally and intellectually in the process of writing the fictionalized version?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I began with the themes. So I began with the theme of dissociation. And I just started, you know, mind mapping all of the words and thoughts and ideas that came to me from that. And that's when the first character showed up, and who isn't the main character in the book. The first character who showed up is Elizabeth. She's a 16-year-old student of Nora's. And so she was just there sitting in a desk in a high school classroom. So I began to describe her and ask questions about her, you know, who was she, what were her thoughts, her dreams, her fears. And then Nora came into the scene. And
who is the protagonist?
Nora is the protagonist, the teacher. Mm-hmm. And so it worked like that with all the characters as they truly walked onto the stage, and I became the journalist. You know, I followed them around and asked them questions and watched how they responded to different events that came up. And the events that came in front of them were the events that happened to me. So I would put that in front of them and watch how they experienced it. So it really, for me, it created a tremendous shift in my consciousness because I noticed that it was different in the memoir, where a lot of the focus was on the perpetrator. And in the novel, the focus is on the women in the story and how they are dealing with what happened.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Two different journeys.
Yeah.
Tell me about the financial success of the book. Has it been selling well? My understanding is it's done very well. Correct me if I'm wrong. It was, at least for a while, a number one bestseller in the genre that it is in on Amazon, yes?
Mm-hmm.
So, are you wealthy now, beyond imagination?
I don't know. Is any writer ever really wealthy?
Yeah, J.K. Rowling is doing pretty well.
Yes, the big ones, for sure. Yeah. No, it definitely didn't create any extra wealth, but it was a surprise, a shock, really. When I remember when I found out that it hit number one, I'd been hiking up the mountains with Peter, and my agent called. We had terrible reception. And he said, can you look on Amazon right now and check out your book? And I couldn't because of the reception. So when I got down to the car, I looked, and there it was, as number one in psychological fiction. And that was a very surreal moment.
I'll bet. Mm-hmm. We're talking with Anna Quinn, number one best-selling author right here in Port Townsend, who is stepping away from her business that her and Peter Quinn have run, which most of our listeners have probably are aware of or have been to before, which is the Writer's Workshop and Imprint Books. As you listen to us today, she has just sold her business and walked away from it. But I want to talk a little bit more about the book, because I'm really interested in that. Mm-hmm. And I plan to buy a copy and have you sign it for me.
Thank you.
Shortly. But I know, as an author myself, that the odds of getting a first novel published, even for an accomplished journalist, is the odds are long.
Mm-hmm.
What was the process of pitching your manuscript like? Was it hard? Was it difficult? Did you bump into a lot of dead ends, or was it instant success?
Yeah, no. I was very fortunate to have met a lot of authors just having the Writer's Workshop, because they would come teach for us, and we'd have great conversations, and they gave me lots of tips and ideas and prepared me for the grueling journey of submitting a novel. And I wanted to go the traditional route. I wanted to see if I could do it. I wanted a traditional agent. I just wanted to see if I could. And so I did. That's what I did. I queried agents, and I was very obsessive about my process. I had spreadsheets, and I subscribed to Publishers Weekly, and I followed, how other authors had done it. And it was about a month. Maybe I think it was my ninth agent who requested a full manuscript. I had four requests for partials early on.
The ninth that you had queried.
Okay. And so it didn't take very long. It was about a month, and before he called me.
That's really good.
Representation.
As someone who's been through that process himself, that's fantastic.
Yeah, a lot of things have to come into place. It just felt like synchronicity was on my side there. It had fallen just right at the brink of the Me Too movement. I think that helped a lot. I don't know if I would have submitted 10 years ago if anyone would have picked it up, but I think now it's perhaps more relevant.
Timing is everything.
I think so. Yeah, and I had wonderful endorsements from Dorothy Allison gave me an endorsement.
Cheryl Strayed, did she write one for you?
I didn't ask Cheryl. I had Lydia Yuknovich was my other endorsement, and Pam Houston.
Pam's great.
Melissa Phoebos. I was very lucky to have such a fabulous writing tribe.
Our listeners probably don't know, if you're not in the book business or the author business, it's harder to get an agent than it is to get a publisher. And you can get a lower end publisher submitting by yourself.
Yeah.
I'm a case example of that. I couldn't get an agent. I tried and tried and tried. Nobody jumped it. And an agent, explain how much money an agent gets and what an agent does for an author.
They usually get about 15%, that's the norm, and I think they are completely worth every single cent, because they're the ones that go out, they're your champion. Mm-hmm. They go out and they find a publisher that loves your book as much as they do, and I think if I hadn't had an agent, I would have taken a deal that maybe it wasn't in my book's best interest. We had several offers, and I was really excited about those offers, and my agent would go, no, we're going to keep going. And he took his time. I mean, it took a while before we got the contract that we received from Blackstone. And it really blew my mind. And I was glad that I had him, because I didn't have that kind of the faith that you need to have, that agents will have, and their knowledge, because they know everyone in the industry. They know the editors and the publishers. They know how to maneuver through. They know to go to the book fair in Germany and, you know, bid for a book. They know so much that I would never have taken the time.
And you got an advance on your book. Tell us what it was like when you opened that envelope and here's your check, your advance on your book.
I honestly almost fainted. I had already known what the advance would be, and it came. It was the night before New Year's Eve or something, and when my agent told me what it was, I didn't believe him, and I kept saying, "Wait, can you say how many? Can you repeat the zeros?" And I was just, I couldn't believe it.
Do you want to tell us how much it is, or is it a secret?
Probably not. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So people don't hit you up for loans.
I think, you know, most people can look it up in Publishers Weekly, but.
Okay, that's fine. Well, are people clamoring for a sequel now? I read that you would prefer to move into new stories and new energy. Is that how you're feeling right now?
Yeah.
In other words, not do a sequel for
Yeah, I never had an intention to do a sequel. I mean, people have asked if I'd do a memoir. And I probably won't. I'm absolutely ready to move on to new subjects. And also because of the ending of The Night Child, sometimes people think there'll be a sequel. Mm-hmm. But for me, the ending was exactly the ending it needed to be. And I know it's kind of controversial. When I go around and I talk to book groups, though, we talk about the ending. Then there's an understanding of what it means. And I love talking about it and hearing all the perspectives people have and what it could possibly mean.
And we're not going to tell you what that ending is, so that you go and buy, if you haven't already, The Night Child by Anna Quinn, who is our guest here on the KPTZ Compass today. It took you, and by your words, about a decade to finish The Night Child. And you're talking about writing another book. Mm-hmm. Regardless of the subject matter, would you be able to turn around a finished new manuscript faster than that to keep your publisher happy? They don't like to sit around for 10 years waiting for a sequel.
Yeah, so the Night Child didn't take me a decade. The memoir that I was working on privately, that took a decade before I even thought about turning it into a novel.
Okay.
The novel itself took about a year or two. And I would imagine this next book, I'm almost through with a draft, but I am a very slow writer. It'll probably, I would say at least another 6 months to a year, but I'm not getting a lot of pressure from my agent or the publisher. They're very respectful. They want me to put out the best book I can put out. So, but I don't want to wait too long. I don't want to lose them.
And your next book will be about what?
I can't say too much about it.
Because?
I feel like I need to protect it a little right now.
Okay.
And, but it is, it's fascinating to me. So that's a good thing. And I can say that it's about a group of excommunicated nuns who live in the San Juan Islands.
Interesting.
It is very interesting. I love the characters.
That will pique our readers' interest. If now that you're a published novelist, if you could identify just a few, what are some of the main elements that any good novel really should have, if you can think of such?
Well, for me, and I think we all like our stories, you know, there's certain things we like about stories, and I love character-driven stories. I like interior journey stories. There's not as many of those around, but those are the ones I'm drawn to. I'm drawn to stories that have high value and emotional truth. You know, you can feel that the writer dug deep and continued to dig deep even after they already had. And I love gorgeous language, that where it feels like it's almost a poem.
Mm, yes.
So I'm not as concerned about plot. It's kind of secondary to me as I am about the character's interior growth and changes.
Would you then say that literary fiction is one of your favorite genres?
Yeah, and I think that's what they put The Night Child under, too.
Oh,
literary psychological fiction is the genre.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
I have to get this book. Why haven't I gotten this book? I will as soon as we're done here.
Okay.
I'll run down there and pick one up. But now that you've kind of mentioned about what you like, could you name a few of the novels or nonfiction books that you consider among the best you've ever read? And I know that's a hard question for any avid reader, but just books that pop into your head. This was great.
Well, the best book I've read this year, and it's one of the best books now going down my list as best book ever, is Ocean Vuong's new book, On Earth Here We're Briefly Gorgeous. And he...
Say that title slowly.
On Earth Here, We Are Briefly Gorgeous.
I love that.
It's a beautiful book. And you might know that Ocean Vuong is a Copper Canyon poet.
Ah, well, our listeners will understand that.
So that's very special, yeah. And his poetry, Night Sky, one of his books, Night Sky with Exit Wounds, I also love. But the novel is gorgeous. It's written as a letter to his mother.
Ah.
So I would encourage people to read it.
It's truly beautiful. Now I've got two books on my must-read list, The Night Child and...
On Earth Here, We're Briefly Gorgeous.
Do you have a single favorite author of all time whose work is always prominent in your must-read list?
Yeah, well, I have lots, as you might imagine.
Of course.
But if I had to just choose one, Edna O'Brien, it would say is my favorite author. She's an Irish author. She's literary fiction and story. I'm very drawn to Irish writers. I think that's a natural storytelling gene.
What's your maiden name? Is it O'Reilly or what?
It's Groark, Groarke. My mother was born in Ireland.
Ah, there you go. Yeah. I knew there must have been some connection.
So Colm Toibín, I love, you know, Anne Enright, The Greenest Road. All her books I love. So they would go that route. The other book I'd love is by Carrie Holm, The Bone People.
Mm-hmm.
And that won the New Zealand Booker Prize in, I think, 1986. I've read that book probably 20 times. I'm so fascinated with her structure. It's really different and refreshing and unusual. Yeah, they're my top.
We're sitting here just days away as we speak from Anna Quinn walking away from the Writers' Workshop and Imprint Books. But you were there for a dozen years. Is working in or running or owning a bookstore and the workshop something you always dreamed? How did that come about? I guess that's what I want to know.
Well, I was a teacher on Bainbridge Island, and the scenes in The Night Child, there are three, are actually drawn from my experiences teaching middle school and high school there. And I remember telling my students that I told them that I was working on a book, and that if I didn't finish it by the time I was 50, I was going to have to take a sabbatical from teaching and just finish it. Mm-hmm. So I turned 50 and I had not finished the book.
Ah.
So I took a leave, and I took a long extended leave because I moved to Port Townsend, and I finished the book. And I wanted to go a draft of it, and I wanted to take it through writing groups, but it was difficult to find a writing group, even though there's so many writers in this town, but they're all already kind of settled in. And so I just put a flyer on a bulletin board in town and said, looking for a writing group, you know, literary fiction. And I had so many responses that I thought, wow, it'd be kind of cool to have a little place where writers could connect with other writers and share their work. So that's when we opened the store above the bead store, which is about 100 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
We put a table and some chairs and started bringing writers, matching writers up with each other. And then it just kept growing and growing. And then in 2014, we bought the Imprint Bookstore and merged the two. And that's been heaven.
Heaven.
Really good combination.
So you walk away from it with very good memories.
Oh, absolutely.
And the workshops, if they do continue, and we were presuming that will be the case, you're still going to be around.
I am. I'm hoping to teach at least once every quarter. Yeah.
Any message for all of your friends and patrons over the years?
Well, I just can't express enough gratitude to this town for supporting our store and showing up and being part of that community in whatever form it was, whether it was taking a workshop, or offering a seat at the writing table to a new writer, buying a debut author's book, helping a child find a book. All of it really adds to the energy that just keeps our human foundation really strong and intimate and important.
With best-selling author Anna Quinn, this is David Cunningham for KPTZ News. The Compass airs Mondays at noon and 5 p.m. with a repeat Saturday at noon. Exclusively here on KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend.